It's Friday. Week four is here. Fantasy football is awesome, and Kirk Cousins is now a distant relative. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBS Sports and use offer code... Jamie, what offer code would you use?
Fun.
Fun is a good offer code. Fun is not a way that I would describe Kirk Cousins in your fantasy lineup in week four. I'm Dave. He's Jamie. Matt Brodsky is producing the show. Adam Azer is visiting the Playboy Mansion.
Nice.
Which is empty. But he's still visiting anyway. We got a lot to talk about from the Thursday game, but first I wanted to check in with a quick email that I thought was good, and I had it on my screen, and now it's gone because I am bad at this. It's from Mark in Buffalo. Guys, I enjoy the podcast. Thanks for putting in the work. I need a DST for the week to fill in for the Bengals. I don't want to drop them. So would you drop Chris Johnson, Mark Ingram, or Alfred Blue for a bi-week fill-in DST? That's from Mark in Buffalo, and he has five other running backs on his roster, so clearly he's loaded on running backs. Would you drop Chris Johnson, Mark Ingram, or Alfred Blue for a pick for a DST, or would you cut the Bengals' DST, pick up a DST? Or option number three, would you just leave the Bengals' DST in and take a zero at DST?
I wouldn't take a zero. I would probably drop the Bengals' DST on Sunday morning.
Saturday night would also work. It would
either
get
one.
The job done.
Yep,
assuming
one.
That there's waivers in Mark's.
Either one. If I had to drop a running back and he's so inclined to keep the Bengals, I would drop Alfred Blue. Same thing, Saturday night. Just because his shelf life is not the same compared to the other two guys. Because if you're counting on Foster missing multiple weeks, then you keep Blue, but Foster could be back this week.
This is the podcast where we talk about AFC home games. If you're looking for the NFC home games, you can go to Thursday's podcast. Also, if you're looking for the Bills-Texans game or the Patriots-Chiefs game, we previewed those on Thursday's podcast. I want to get to a couple of news items brought to you by Squarespace before we get into the AFC home games, Jamie. Jamaal Charles participated in Chiefs practice again on Friday. It's looking more and more like he will play.
Yep.
How confident would you be at this point in starting Jamaal Charles? If you had to lock in your starting lineup right now, 3 o'clock on the nose on Friday, would you do it?
I would start him ahead of everybody not named DeMarco Murray, Matt Forte, Le'Veon Bell.
Okay, so you are all about him this week. You are all in
100%
on Jamaal Charles.
They're not going to bench him.
I got him as a top 12 guy. I'm a little nervous that he'll lose carries in his first game back to Nile Davis, but it is good at the very least that he's practicing this week. Brandon Marshall didn't practice on Friday. Missed practice, listed as questionable for the Bears game. And actually, I don't think he practiced at all this week. Big game against Green Bay. What's the game plan with him?
You'll have to find out Sunday morning, but if he's active, you're starting him. I just made a move in one of my leagues to put him in the flex spot, so I have some options in case he does not play. So if you have the ability to start three receivers and he's one of your guys, then you put him in the flex and, you know, maybe you shuffle in and out a running back for him. Because of the bye weeks, I would be in a bad spot without him. I'd have to start Toby Gerhart.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't love that, but I'd rather have Toby Gerhart's 2 or 3 points than Brandon Marshall's zero.
I understand. I get the feeling that he'll end up playing.
I agree.
I have a hard time believing that he's not going to play just because he didn't practice all week. And you know,
we've seen that with receivers before. It's different with running backs. Receivers can take, you know, especially somebody of his caliber, can take some time off.
Eric Decker is also in the news. Jets coach Rex Ryan says that he thinks Decker will play Sunday against Detroit. The quote is, "Feels like he will play." So according to Rex Ryan, it feels like Eric Decker will play. I don't know if I want to start Eric Decker unless it's as a bye week replacement. The nice thing about Marshall and the nice thing about Decker, too, is Sunday 1 o'clock games. We'll know 90 minutes in advance if they're active. You don't have to do the guessing game or the emergency handcuff situation like you might have to with Jamaal Charles if you feel like Jamaal Charles could be that guy.
Yep.
We will have some news and notes along the way about Jonathan Stewart, Jake Locker, Delanie Walker, Ladarius Green as we break into Thursday night's game between the New York Giants and the Washington Redskins. Oh, Jamie, we bit on Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Me especially. I thought he had a great game against Philadelphia. I was very encouraged by how he played. Thought for sure that he'd step into this game against the Giants. lean on a short area passing attack to keep the Giants secondary guessing. And when Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie went out, I thought, well, this is it. Because Rodgers-Cromartie was the best cornerback. This is when the Redskins should really get going.
Yep.
And really, it was still a game after their first drive in the third quarter. Alf had a 20-yard touchdown run that brought him to within one score.
Yep.
And then the meltdown. Kirk Cousins had four interceptions in the game. Three came in the third quarter. Three of them came when he wasn't pressured in the pocket. Two of them came on deep passes. He completely stunk.
Yep.
In that second half, completed only six passes in the second half. And now that he's got Seattle and Arizona on the slate for the next 2 weeks, there's not only would I not start Kirk Cousins, I'm cutting him. I will let somebody else take him. He does have good matchups later on in the season. Who knows what the situation will be like? And then tack on the offensive line issues that happened in that game. Trent Williams left. We don't know what his knee is going to be like going forward. The right side of that line is a mess. The Redskins are scaring me.
Yeah, understandably so. Makes me feel good about one thing, though, after watching Kirk Cousins do that last night. Colin Kaepernick, ding, 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 playing the Eagles this week. So you saw what Cousins was able to do. Kaepernick should have a big game as well. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's if you could stash Cousins, it might be worth it just because quarterbacks being what they are right now, he'll have some good moments. But I think if you need a roster spot and Eli Manning's out there, it's an easy decision to make. Manning looked great. I think it's a sign of things to come. Amazing schedule for him and the Giants the rest of the way. They get Odell Beckham back. That'll help Eli. May hurt the receivers as a whole because somebody else is taking a piece of the puzzle away. Don't panic on Rashad Jennings. That was a blowout situation. They had the opportunity to rest him, which was smart.
Mm-hmm.
And Andre Williams is definitely somebody you should pick up.
If you had to make a choice right now, Kirk Cousins or Teddy Bridgewater?
Oh, Bridgewater.
Kirk Cousins or Blake Bortles?
Bortles.
Matt Brodsky, producer, man about town in Central Florida. Kirk Cousins or Blake Bortles?
Blake Bortles.
There you go.
Blake Bortles.
There you go. And you are a big Blake Bortles fan.
Yes,
anything else that you take away from this game between the Giants and the Redskins?
I think being tight end play, what it is that, Larry Donnell is somebody that if you've been using over the last couple weeks, because after week one he was picked up moderately and then progressively getting bigger. Anybody who started him last week was thrilled to death. If he's your second tight end and you just picked him up to stash on your bench, make a trade now because he's
going
to be good, but his value is never going to be this high. So look at the Jordan Reed owner. Look at the Niles Paul owner who left with a concussion. Look at the Dennis Pitta, Kyle Rudolph. Anybody who needs a tight end, you could shop him and maybe get something great in return.
But if Donnell is your only tight end,
you should be fine with him.
I think you should be fine and prepare for him to be your tight end for the rest of the season.
Yep.
P.S., he's owned in 70% of leagues, which means that probably in a bunch of 10-team leagues, you could find him available. Giants DST, when they've got favorable matchups, I'd feel good about starting them at this point. That secondary looks good.
I actually had them in my top 12 this week. And the problem was I had the Redskins in my top 12 too. I think the Giants have some good players there, good secondary, as long as Rodgers-Cromartie is healthy, which I would hope he's back for week five. And hopefully John Beeson's back for week five.
I'm very encouraged by Eli, by the way. The fact that he's played well now for – it's not just this game. Everybody's like, oh, now is a big game, and now you're a big fan. I don't look at it that way. I think for several more weeks, he will be very, very good, and he does not have a lot of tough matchups along the way. Okay, enough about that. Let's get into this. We've got some AFC home games, and let's start with the Steve Smith Bowl. In Baltimore, Steve Smith taking on his team of 13 years until this year, the Carolina Panthers. He has promised blood and guts everywhere and to wear your goggles so you don't get any blood or guts in your eyes. He's also been playing very, very well to start the season. Where do you have Steve Smith ranked? And that's the end of my question.
Top 12. I think, you look at the way he's performed. He's been very successful over the first three games of the season. And I like these type of games, these type of matchups. I mean, anybody who's listened to our shows knows that I talk about guys when they go to their hometown. I talk about guys when they face their former team. We saw it last week with DeSean Jackson, and I wouldn't be surprised if you get a similar performance of, big play, big touchdown, forcing the ball into him as much as they possibly can. Carolina knows that too. But every team has tried to stop Steve Smith. I mean, think about the first game of the season, Cincinnati. He's, throwing Pac-Man Jones around on a touchdown, big touchdown catch. Big plays each of the last 2 weeks, and Joe Flacco is looking for him, and he's probably going to continue to do so as Dennis Pitt is out.
So what does that mean for Torrey Smith? What does that mean for Owen Daniels? And what does it mean for Joe Flacco? Could you consider Flacco as a sleeper this week?
Yeah, I do. I have him as a sleeper in stardom sit-em. I think you get the one touchdown to Smitty, and then we'll see if he gets the second one. You know, nobody's considering Flacco a must-start guy.
Not at all.
Two quarterback leagues, he's probably in your lineup this week with six quarterbacks off. But I think you look at Carolina's secondary. They gave up two touchdowns last week to Ben Roethlisberger. He had, I think it was like 18 or 19 fantasy points.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be surprised if Flacco gets to that range again.
I'd like to talk about the Ravens running backs for a second. There's now three of them
hands
in
off.
A mix. I think it's hands off if you can help it. If you somehow have all three of Bernard P. That would be a weird name. Bernard Pierce, Justin Forsett, and Lorenzo Talaferro. If you had to start one of them, I think it would be Forsett. I think that would be my pick because I know what his role is and I know what this matchup is, and I think he'll end up playing the most of the three running backs. What do you think about that?
I don't disagree that he may end up playing the most, but by the most, that could be 34% of the snaps. And so you're looking at all three guys are going to touch the ball because they can't get away from Bernard Pierce if he's still their quote-unquote starter. They can't get away from Talaferro because he's had their best performance from a running back so far this season. And they can't get away from Forsett because of what you said, his role. So I would completely stay away from all three guys because the upside is so minimal. I have Talaferro ranked the highest because I think he has the best chance to score. So
sure, it's like a goal line.
Yep. And so that's the only thing I would buy into if I'm looking at it. I understand your perspective, which is totally understandable. But again, if I had to say start any of them or sit all of them, I would sit all of them.
And if you had to start one, it would be Talaferro. That's in a standard league. In a
PPR,
PPR
beats Forsett.
I'd go Forsett either way, but so I think he's actually decent in a PPR. And we're kind of poo-pooing on Bernard Pierce. I think if you had to make the choice between Talaferro and Pierce, you're taking Talaferro.
I gave Pierce more carries and more yards, but
right.
I do think that if they're inside the five, they'll give the kid a chance to hammer it in.
I suck with Pierce. Or maybe I didn't. Maybe I stuck with Talaferro because I did give Talaferro a touchdown.
Either way, it's a mess. Until
Exactly. There's not a lot of confidence.
We have
here.
2 weeks now of running back situations that there's a lot of talented guys, and it's going to be a mess. One is Baltimore this week. Next week, it's going to be Cleveland when they're back from their bye week.
Carolina's run game could also potentially be a mess, and that's weird because earlier this week, Mike Tolbert was put on short-term IR. Jonathan Stewart had the sprained knee. All of a sudden, Jonathan Stewart was at practice today. He's listed as questionable for the game. If those guys are out, the door's open for D'Angelo Williams to have a huge workload.
Yep.
It's against a tough defense, but potentially it's been a long time since we've seen D'Angelo Williams get even 18, 19 touches in a game. This could be one of those games where he gets it, and I like him, believe it or not, as a flex, as a bye week replacement running back. I think he's pretty decent in that role. I don't know if he's going to score. I think you're just looking at a guy who could end up getting, I'll be fairly generous and say 75 total yards.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, I think he had week one, 14 carries for 72 yards. So I think that's a safe estimate.
Okay. What about the Carolina passing game? Cam Newton, Kelvin Benjamin. I think you're more excited about Kelvin than I am this week.
Not by much. I think I have him 21, 22.
I think I've got him. Yeah, I've got him at about the same spot. But I've been going back and forth because I think the Ravens are going to...
You have him higher than I do. You have him at 20, I have him at 22.
And I don't know if I feel good about that because while he's a great target, and I think Cam is eventually going to get on the same page, I'm worried about Cam, and I'm worried about how his accuracy could end up being in this game. I'm worried about the Ravens really trying hard to get after Cam. And I think the secret's out by far on Kelvin Benjamin that if it's third and long or if you're in the red zone, that dude needs to be double covered. He's just too big and too dangerous of a threat to leave in single coverage. I'm telling you right now that if Baltimore could get or is unfortunate to have Ladarius Webb one-on-one with Kelvin Benjamin, giving up all that height, I think Carolina would go to that 10 times out of 10.
They
even
should.
Against Webb.
They should.
Right. So I guess I have him as the number two fantasy receiver. I think I'll end up sticking with that.
I'm not benching Kelvin Benjamin if I own him at this point. He's been very good through three games. And they're probably going to be chasing points. And so the targets will be there. And look, he scored two of his touchdowns in late game situations. So that's good for him.
You've got Kelvin Benjamin ranked ahead of guys that you've liked for a long time. Terrence Williams and Golden Tate. I do too. You've got him ranked ahead of Keenan Allen. I do too. You've got him ranked ahead of Sammy Watkins. And I do too. I got Vincent Jackson behind him. I don't know if I'm going to stick with that. So I think Vincent Jackson is probably the better guy to go with there. Cam, hands off for right now?
Unless you're stuck.
Okay.
I'm sticking with him in one league because I don't want to drop any of my other players. Right. And I'm not going to drop Cam because he'll be picked up right away.
And I'm sure you'll agree with me that Greg Olsen is fine this week. Not a great start, but an okay start.
I don't love him.
Would you bench him for...
I'll tell you this, and this is not hindsight. I had Larry Donnell ranked ahead of Greg Olsen.
Okay.
So that's one spot. You know, one guy that clearly is not considered a must-start guy prior to Thursday night. Dwayne Allen I have ranked ahead of him. Okay. Heath Miller I have ranked ahead of him.
Okay. So you're not big on Greg Olsen this
I just
week,
like the way Ravens saying. Defend tight ends. I like the way that they're going to defend
Fair
him.
Enough.
And
Got
so
it.
I think he's going to get you probably six to seven fantasy points, not the usual numbers that he's been given through 3 weeks.
Titans at Colts. We are looking at Jake Locker likely out for the game, which means Charlie Whitehurst is your starter.
He actually practiced, though, today, so on a limited basis.
Well, there's a report saying that he's not expected to play. Somewhere between doubtful and out is what we're hearing. Delanie Walker was limited in Friday's practice. He told reporters Friday that he thinks he has a great chance. That's a quote, great chance, grand chance for him to play. That's another 1 o'clock game, I believe. So I think we'll be able to make a game plan for him 90 minutes before in case he is inactive. But I don't know if I like him even if he is active, because Charlie Whitehurst would be the quarterback going in. And I'm wondering if that sabotages the whole Tennessee offense.
I think that's a fair statement, though. I will look at the tight end and say that's a safety blanket. Mm-hmm. And
safer in PPR than standard?
I think he's the same because he's got a good chance to score. They're not going to shut out the Titans.
Are you starting any Titans running backs? Bishop Sankey is the one I like the best because I think they'll be playing from behind. He actually led the Titans in playing time in their loss last week. And he had 27 yards on 2 carries called back due to offensive line penalties.
I do like Sankey the best from a yard standpoint, but I still think that Green would get a touchdown, and I have projected that way.
Okay. The receivers in Tennessee, I don't think anybody's starting Kendall Wright with much confidence. Justin Hunter, are we cutting Justin Hunter at this point?
I have, and it's unfortunate because he's just not getting the production that you hope for.
All right, so now moving over to Indianapolis, we've seen the Titans' run defense allow over 300 yards rushing and 4 rushing touchdowns in their last 2 games.
Yep.
So that speaks very, very vividly to Ahmad Bradshaw. He should be able to keep up his hot play. And Trent Richardson as a sleeper this week? Do you think it could possibly be?
It could. It could be like last week where, you know, garbage time production, he punches one in. But he didn't do it last week. You're hoping for maybe 7 fantasy points.
I think you're starting Andrew Luck if you've got him. I don't know if he has a monster game like he did last week. I don't know. Tell me where you're at with the Colts wide receivers after I tell you where I'm at with them. I think they're all okay plays this week. I don't love them. I can't put one ahead of the other. T.Y. Hilton's expected to play. He's had some sort of a groin issue that held him back. I don't know how much he could end up playing. If the Colts get ahead, I could see the offense letting him sit and rest, and maybe they do the same thing with Reggie Wayne since he's 55 years old and still he should be all the way back from the knee injury, but just in case they don't want to expose him. Hakeem Nicks has 2 touchdowns in 3 games so far this season. I don't know if he can make it 3 and 4. I feel like I can't trust any of the Indianapolis wide receivers much this week as anything past a third receiver.
Yeah, I gave Wayne a touchdown. He's got a good history against the Titans. He's at home. I think at some point they're going to start to, you know, give him some of those feel-good type attempts in the end zone. So I don't mind him this week, but he's the only one I would consider trusting.
For whatever it's worth, I've got Wayne ranked the highest of the three as well. Dwayne Allen, you mentioned him a little bit when we were talking about Greg Olsen. Is there anything you'd like to add about Allen this week?
Nope. I think he's playing well. Targets have been there. Was outplayed slightly by Kobe Fleener last week. 1 target more. But I don't think that's anything to be concerned about.
Colts DST, top 3?
If Locker's out, then yes, I'll move them up right now.
I'll take him even if Locker's in because he's not 100%. Tennessee's totaled 17 points in their last 2 games. They're a mess. It's a mess. It's not exactly what our friend Ken Wisenhunt would like it to be.
Sure.
After this game, I got to do that read if you have it on your computer.
Sure.
Lions at the Jets. Let's start with that Lions run game. Is it hands-off for Joique Bell and Reggie Bush, or could you see them performing like they did at Carolina in week 2?
Well, that would be
That would be good for Bell.
Yeah, if he gets 6 catches, sure. No, I think this is a Reggie Bush game, not a Joique Bell game. So I'm not starting Joique Bell. The Jets have done very well the last couple of games in shutting down all 3 games in shutting down.
Yeah, they've been great against
running backs. You know, but week 1 was the Raiders, so I don't know how much you want to buy into that. But Eddie Lacy was shut down. Matt Forte was shut down. Mm-hmm. So I'd be a little bit nervous about those guys.
Bush had a season high 18 touches last week. Joico only had 15.
That was a similar type performance because they weren't able to have success running the ball. So I think it's going to be this is a Reggie Bush game. When it's a favorable run game or they're ahead in games, it's going to be Joico.
Last week was the first time the Jets didn't allow multiple touchdowns to a wide receiver. They came close to allowing at least one several times. Calvin hasn't scored in two games. Does he get back on track?
Yeah, he's due. And I think Golden Tate has a good opportunity this week as well because you look at the number two receivers. Now, you can make the argument that when Marshall was in and out of the game last week that Alshon's the number one guy because they basically are 1 and 1A. And you can say the same thing about the Packers between Nelson and Cobb, although we like Nelson much better. It's still one of those situations, though. Week one, the two Raiders guys both scored, so the second guy, whoever it may be, Streeter or Jones, touchdown. Week two, Cobb, touchdown. Week three, Alshon Jeffrey over 100 yards receiving. So it lends you to feel good about Golden Tate, and it's just a matter of time before he's going to start producing at a high level.
Every quarterback the Jets have faced has had multiple touchdowns and at least 18 fantasy points. The one who had 18 was Derek Carr. Everybody else has had 20 or more. So I think you have to feel good about Matthew Stafford. And then the Lions DST, I think, is actually a good option this week, especially if Eric Decker is out.
Yep.
And even if he's not out, even if he plays, I still think the Lions defense, I think they're better than we gave them credit for. They're actually good beyond that big, meaty defensive line. Let's play a game. The game's called Let's Torture Jamie. Jamie, you have to start not one but two Jets this week. Which two would you pick?
Chris Ivory and Jeremy Curley.
Now, let's say you could only start one Jet this week. Which of those two? And if we played a game where you didn't have to start a Jet if you could so help it on your fantasy roster, would you or would you not start a Jet? If you could help
it. I would try to avoid all of them, yes. But I think you got to buy into the way Chris Ivory's playing. You know, he's one of those guys that is – I don't want to say he's matchup-proof, but he's running right now and playing right now, and I say this because of their size and maybe because of their hair, like Eddie Lacy. You want to see Eddie Lacy do that because that's the way Marshawn Lynch runs. He just blows you away.
Mm-hmm.
And Ivory's doing that right now.
Hopefully he can stay healthy. I just don't like the matchup for him.
Oh, I agree. So I'm not. It's not a great matchup for him, but the Lions are going through some changes now with Steven Tulloch out. So we'll see how that impacts their defense too.
I'd like to remind you, Jamie, that today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio. It's constantly improving their platform with new features, new designs, even better support. It's incredibly easy to use. They've got amazing support team that works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, even on the Super Bowl. And you can build a website starting at just $8 a month. It includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year and the use of the company car. Just kidding. They don't really give you use of the company car. Every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience, which you could use while in a car, but not driving because driving and going on the web at the same time isn't a good idea. And when you do use that, the unique mobile experience gives the overall style of your website. It's the exact same thing. It's a match. Your content will look great on every device, every time. You can start a free trial with no credit card required and build your own website today. And when you do sign up for Squarespace, you can use the offer code FUN to get 10%. Show your support for fantasy football today. Go ahead and get your website built with Squarespace. Thank you very much to the good people at Squarespace. And that's all I have to say about that. In London, they've got websites. And this week, they've got football, too. And boy, do they have a terrible, terrible game between the Miami Dolphins.
It could be a great game.
And
terrible.
The Oakland Raiders.
They got terrible
Raiders.
Teams.
They got a very fair point. Jamie wins. Who's the player you would absolutely love to start in this game?
Lamar Miller.
I would agree. And I think the Raiders' run defense has been bad so far this year. And they're going to get worse. They're down two starting linebackers. It's going to be ugly for them. And I think the Dolphins, who desperately need a win at this point, I think they've got to lean on Lamar Miller again, like they did last week, even though it was in a loss. Kind of take the pressure off of Ryan Tannehill. And Lamar Miller, I've got him as a top 12 running back this week. I think he has an awesome game.
I am top 10.
Well, look at you, Mr. Fancy Pants. All of a sudden, you're like a Hurricane supporter over
here. Or just a running back with a good matchup supporter. I would start him over LeSean McCoy.
I think I would, too.
I know you would, because you have it ranked that way.
Do I have him in my top 10?
You have him at the same spot I do, which is number 8.
Yeah, because I'm a Hurricane supporter, and I support all Hurricanes.
Right, like Bryce Brown. Go ahead.
He is not a Hurricane, sir, my good sir. Mike Wallace, bad game last week by fantasy standards. Probably a decent game by his standards.
7 fantasy points.
He's against Oakland. You got to imagine it's going to be another good game for him.
Yep, he should be a top 20 receiver this week. Should come out and play well. You know, I think the one thing to be concerned about is the whole Tannehill situation with the Dolphins and the matchup, given what it is and how teams have beaten the Patriots. Do they just
beaten the Patriots?
Beaten the Raiders, excuse me.
Uh-huh.
They played the Patriots last week. That it's just run, and run some more, and not have to throw too much. And so, as we saw last week, if Wallace doesn't score, you're left with an okay line, like you said, but not a great line. So, it just be careful who you're starting Mike Wallace over.
Dare I say...
Like, I'm surprised you have Mike Wallace ranked ahead of Steve Smith.
Dare I say that the third best fantasy option in this game is the Dolphins DST?
They might be the second best.
Ahead of Mike Wallace. Mm-hmm. Interesting. But you would definitely use them as a bye week replacement.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
Yeah, I picked
it.
Them up and dropped the Bengals in a few leagues, dropped the Saints, because I liked them last week. So I think they're top five.
If I said to you that the Raiders have allowed each of the DSCs they've played so far this season to finish as a top 12 unit, would you believe me?
Yes.
I don't lie. I'm telling you the truth. Jamie, name an Oakland Raider you'd be happy to start this week.
James Jones.
You'd be happy to start James Jones?
Yeah, third receiver.
Bye week guy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, there's no Rod Streeter now. He's had two very good games, or one good game, one great game.
Uh-huh.
For James Jones. And last week he played Darrell Revis. Now, Brent Grimes and Cortland Finnegan have been prone to, as we saw so far this year, especially week two against Buffalo, number one receivers have had some good success against them. So I think you could look at it and say, does James Jones have the opportunity with being force-fed targets to play well? And I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
I'm going to call out a deep sleeper in the game, Andre Holmes of the Raiders.
Yeah, you like Holmes.
I do like him.
I want to see it first. They're talking
That's
about
totally
him.
Fair. It's a Raider.
Yeah, I just want to see him get more targets than Denarius Moore because he's not going to start. They're going to start more. I'll give you another sleeper in this game is Michael Rivera because I think
the tight end of the Raiders.
I think he gets a bump in playing time also, a bump of targets at least. And the Dolphins, two of their three games, they've given up a touchdown to a tight end.
Tampa Bay at Pittsburgh is the next game on the docket. I think it's pretty obvious that Le'Veon Bell is a must-start. Antonio
yep.
Brown is a must-start. Roethlisberger is a guy we like a lot this week because it feels like he's due. And I know that's really terrible analysis, but it also feels like that the Buccaneers' pass defense is pretty bad. Matt Ryan showed everybody that in week three. I think Roethlisberger at home shakes off the cobwebs that he's had so far this season, puts up an excellent game, opens the door for Heath Miller and Marcus Wheaton to be sleepers this week. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Wheaton has been playing well, just not producing at a very high level from a fantasy perspective, and that could change this week easily. You know, so I wouldn't have a problem starting him as a third receiver also. And then I just have a gut feeling that this is the Miller game we've been waiting for.
LeGarrette Blount's a sleeper, too.
Oh,
we should add him to
yeah,
the sleeper
absolutely.
Pile.
I actually have him as a top 24 running back. I don't know where you have him ranked this
I think
week.
I have him outside of that.
Yep, but I think you look at – nope, we both have him in the same spot, 24.
Oh, okay.
So you're counting on him scoring. That's the key. If he does, you're happy. If you're stuck and you need some running back this week, I would have no problem looking at him.
Are there any Buccaneers that we can feel real good about? It's been over a calendar year since Doug Martin has delivered a solid stat line for fantasy owners.
Yeah, but that's misleading because he's
it is. He's got hurt a lot.
More
but
games
still.
Than he's played.
Right.
I'm look. If I have Doug Martin, I'm starting him.
Fair.
That's kind of where it is. You know,
Vincent Jackson.
Same.
What about the Steelers DST? You love them this week. I feel like Tampa Bay can put some points up with my
I don't Wyatt. Disagree, but I also think you could see a pick six. You could see a punt return touchdown. The Steelers just have a way when they're able to face an opponent at home that just seems like a wounded duck to sometimes come up with big games like this.
Right.
So, like, I'll have them third right now. I'll probably move the Colts ahead of them if Locker's out, so they'll be bumped down to fourth. But I still think they're top five worthy this week.
I'm worried that with
bad.
All the – well, they're bad with Josh McCown. I don't know if they're going to be as bad with Mike Lennon, and I know the Steelers are down three starters on defense. Ike Taylor wasn't great, but for whatever it's worth, I thought he was okay. All right, last game, Jacksonville, San Diego. Start all Chargers. Is there a Charger here that you don't feel good about?
Well, I don't know if that's that much of a blanket statement when you say Keenan Allen's been struggling.
So you don't feel good about him?
No, I mean, I'm still starting him, but, you know, it's not as easy as – I'm trying to think of a game this week. Like the Steelers, you're starting all the main guys.
Would you start Marcus Wheaton ahead of Keenan Allen? Or
no.
Are we not going that far?
No. I think he's in the mix of a top 24 guy.
Okay. I think he's toward the end of that mix, but I would take the chance.
Well, I mean, just think about this. Steve Smith was never expected to be started ahead of Keenan Allen. We're both doing that.
Right.
Brandon Cooks, starting him over him.
Yes.
Right. You starting Benjamin or Watkins over him?
Mm-hmm.
Over Keenan Allen?
Yeah.
Okay.
You start, I don't know about Watkins. I might.
But you're considering it.
I would consider
you starting
it.
DeAndre Hopkins over him?
Definitely.
There I'm you go. So there's four guys right there that Terrence Williams?
Yes.
There you go. So now there's a handful of guys that you're starting over who is expected to be a top 15 receiver.
Donald Brown, a must start at this point. You're starting him ahead of LeSean McCoy.
Yep.
Which is pretty bold, if I may say so.
Well, I just look at it. It's not that I don't like McCoy. I just like Brown a little bit better. It's the same thing. Look, you have Ahmad Bradshaw and Lamar Miller ahead of LeSean McCoy. So it's not like that's that far of a stretch.
True.
You know, you're talking about guys. And I'll say this. I like Bradshaw this week, but Bradshaw's still, quote unquote, the number two guy. I know he's better than Trent Richardson. Donald Brown is the only guy in town. It's the same thing with Lamar Miller. Only guy in town in a good matchup. So I just don't see how you can potentially bench him.
Got it. I know you got to go in a minute.
No, it's actually I postponed it.
Oh, okay.
15 minutes.
Okay. In that case, we can sit and enjoy a conversation about Allen Robinson.
Answer some emails too.
Okay, perfect. So Allen Robinson is a guy that we've both talked a lot about this week. I like the fact that he catches a lot of passes, plays a lot, seems better than your typical rookie wide receiver. And now that Blake Bortles is under center and Bortles does have a penchant for making plays, I kind of view Allen Robinson as a potential third receiver this week. And certainly he might end up being that way almost every week because I don't know how many matchups Jacksonville is going to have where they're going to be able to run the ball and grind the clock that way. I think they're going to have to throw a lot this season.
Yep.
And it's kind of nice now that Bortles is actually under center and gives them a chance.
I'll tell you, I didn't have the guts to do it, and I wish that I did. But, you know, I didn't like DeSean Jackson this week.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of one of the dividing lines in my rankings because I have Robinson.
Where'd you end up putting him, by the way?
At 31. I have DeSean Jackson at 29.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually gave them the same amount of fantasy points, which is 8. So I think that Robinson is going to get peppered with targets like we've seen the last couple of weeks, 16 targets. That could even get better if they're trailing by that much. I don't think he scores, but if he does, you'll be extremely happy about that. I like this receiving core. I wish there was like if Cecil Schwartz was replaced by somebody that could be a true number one, it would be pretty good.
What if he were replaced by Roddy White?
I was looking for somebody a little younger, but like if they had Kelvin Benjamin, just, you know, for example, like a guy who can just lead this receiving core as opposed to just, you know, kind of be all
a
the
bunch
same
of guys that kind of all look and feel the same.
Right. And maybe one of them does. Maybe Allen Hurns ascends to that spot. Maybe it's Robinson.
Maybe Schwartz gets it back. He did have 10 targets last week.
You know, so I think this is going to be a fun offense to watch. We love the Chargers DST, but I also think there could be a letdown in that they don't do enough because the Jacksonville offense doesn't throw up all over themselves like they tend to.
Right. That was the Chad Henne special.
Yep.
By the way, Allen Robinson's last two games, 16 targets, 11 catches, and 154 yards. I don't think that's so bad.
Nope.
Toby Gerhardt, I don't think he's really worth talking about. I don't think a lot of people are starting him. I think at this point they've either cut ties with him or they're taking a wait-and-see approach to see if Blake Bortles changes anything. And I think there could be some creative plays involving Toby Gerhardt and Blake Bortles, but I don't see.
You're actually optimistic on him, though.
Yeah, you know what? It's like a weird feeling that I have that we shouldn't quite write off Toby Gerhardt just yet. I know that it's been a bad, bad start to the season. And, you know, maybe it's because he was an early draft pick, and I don't want to let go of early draft picks so easily.
I understand. I feel about the Toby Gerhardt in particular for the Jaguars and Cordarrelle Patterson in particular for the Vikings that they've gotten off to slow starts, and you're very excited. I know I was very excited about both these guys. And now there's a change, and you want to see how that change is going to impact them. Can't be negative because they haven't been playing very well.
It can't be worse.
Right. Hopefully it's positive. So we'll see how that all shakes out.
I also wonder if that injury that Gerhardt suffered in week one
lingering
is going to linger for a long, long time. By the way, Ladarius Green looks like he'll end up being questionable to worse than questionable for the game after he was dinged in practice this week.
Yep.
We'll wait and see what his status is. If he's out, and we know that Danny Woodhead's out, does it open the door for Eddie Royal to be a sneaky PPR plug-and-play?
Yeah, I think both Royal and Floyd, you know, that's when you ask the question, start all Chargers. Those are the first two.
I have a feeling about Floyd this week.
I went to. I wouldn't be surprised if Floyd has one of his, you know, one catch, 40-yard touchdown type games, two catches, 98 yards like we saw a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And then Royal does, you know, one of his sneaky games. Just a matter of how gutsy are you and how much do you feel like starting them.
You got some emails.
Yep.
Let's read them.
All right. This comes to us from Mark in Buffalo. Hey, guys. I enjoy the podcast. Thanks for putting
in. We read that one at the start.
So much work. Rick in H-Town. What's up, Austin, Antonio, and Houston?
Oh, cities in Texas.
Yes. Pick three wide receivers. It's a full point PPR, 12 teams, three receiver league, no flex. Brandon Marshall, Jordy Nelson, Alshon Jeffrey, Kelvin Benjamin. So you got to bench one of Marshall, Nelson, Jeffrey, Benjamin.
Assuming they're all healthy, I'm sitting Kelvin Benjamin. And if Brandon Marshall makes it easy and somehow comes up inactive on Sunday, you'd sit him.
John in Syracuse wants to know, and he has a new phrase for us. If you want to win, Thursday's in. As opposed to if you're in doubt, Thursday's out.
It's interesting.
Look,
I don't know.
The Thursday night games have been very good for one team.
They've been good for one team. It's not necessarily the home team. And it's not necessarily the more explosive offensive team, as the Ravens would tell you against the Steelers
right.
in week two.
He says he's seeing a new trend in Thursday fantasy scoring. It seems underprepared defenses are making for some juicy fantasy scoring. So I guess he's saying the Redskins were underprepared. The
and
Bucks
so that's
were
helped.
Underprepared.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we're defining underprepared, though.
How do we? First of all, I feel like every defense is going to be underprepared on Thursday
because
it's 3 days later. So I don't. I think you can just look at bad defenses. If the defenses where they give offensive players a good matchup, you just lean as heavily as you can on those matchups.
So
it was a great matchup for Matt Ryan 2 weeks ago. We knew that Tampa Bay defense was bad and banged up. We should have gone gung-ho on Falcons players.
And who did we not go gung-ho on?
I know. I mean, you can only go gung-ho so much on Matt Ryan.
Once we knew that, I mean, like, I know I projected Harry Douglas for a touchdown.
I did, too.
Thankfully,
yeah.
He got one.
Yeah. Jackson.
But it's not like we were going to say start Anton Smith or start Levine Toilolo.
Sure.
It's not like we went to that extreme.
Because there's doubt about those guys. And when there's doubt, Thursday's out.
Yeah. So this week we have Vikings-Packers. Obviously, you're dialing up all the Packers.
And I think
you
do that no matter what.
All right. This is from Phil in the Windy City. Dear Vince, Shane, and Stephanie. You should know that.
WWE McMahon.
Yep. I picked up Larry Donnell as a bye-week fill-in for Julius Thomas and obviously was handsomely rewarded. Looking deeper at Larry's targets and receptions this season, though, coupled with that offense is finally becoming, I feel like Donnell is for real. Do you think I should trade him high on – do you think I should trade high
we
on Julius?
About this. Oh,
to try and improve elsewhere. If so, what range of players do you think I can go for? Running back would be ideal. Would you approach the Eddie Lacy owner and say, I'll give you Julius Thomas for Eddie Lacy?
Oh, I'd love to get Eddie Lacy straight up for Julius Thomas.
If you have to know.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a move I would do. But I don't know if I would do that if I had Eddie Lacy.
But what if you have Lacy and you just lost Pitta and you're second, you got.
I'm 3-0.
You have Owen Daniels.
Right.
You picked up Owen Daniels this week.
I don't know. It really would depend on how the rest of my
and
running backs
you have
backs
Lacy,
look.
Bradshaw, Donald Brown.
I don't feel good about that. I don't feel good about
and
Lacy there.
Doug Martin.
Nope. I don't feel good about it because I know that Donald Brown's on a short-term thing.
But you get such a huge upgrade at tight end, though.
Yeah.
And that balances
but
your roster
it
a little
does. I don't think it does. I don't think it does. I think I need to see Eddie Lacy and how he does this week. I'm not making that trade before Sunday. We could revisit it after. But I know Ahmad Bradshaw eventually might not be there for me. I don't want to think like that, but I'm a realist. Donald Brown, when Ryan Matthews comes back, he's a part-time player.
But those are like 4 or 5 week situations, though, where you could be 4-5-0 because you get Julius Thomas.
Yeah, but I don't want to finish 5-8.
But you then make the second move, winning games.
I don't know if I can make that move down the line. And by then, Eddie Lacy might be too valuable.
Yeah, I probably make that trade, though.
I don't think
Larry, Robert, and Kevin comes to us from Dan in Massachusetts. So Larry, Robert, and Kevin, you know who those are?
No.
Larry Bird, Robert Parrish.
Parrish and Kevin McHale.
I was a Pitta owner and got Daniels through the waiver wire. Jordan Cameron got dropped. Should I pick him up? And who do I drop out of Carlos Hyde, Daniels, and take the bye week zero? Bobby Rainey, he also has Doug Martin. Niall Davis, Jeremy Hill, and he also has Giovanni Bernard. Terrence Williams. So he's got to pick up Cameron and either drop Hyde, Owen Daniels, Bobby Rainey, Niall Davis, Jeremy Hill, Terrence Williams, or – yeah.
How dirty of a fantasy owner am I allowed to be? And I don't mean dirty language. I'm talking about how much of a jerk am I allowed to be?
As jerky as you want.
Could I possibly cut my kicker – to pick up Jordan Cameron, and then immediately drop Jordan Cameron so he goes right back on waivers and pick up a different kicker so that I'll have an opportunity for sure to get Jordan Cameron after week four is over. And then I start Owen Daniels. And I can't cut any of those other guys. And I can't cut Owen Daniels for Jordan Cameron. I need points from the tight end.
You could
position.
Do that, but you're also running the risk that this guy is very good and he's still going to be high on waivers again, or low on waivers again, excuse me.
There will be at least 2 to 3 players that do something in week 4 that'll supersede
Jordan
Cameron.
Right, but if he's 12th on waivers.
I think he still has a shot at getting Jordan Cameron if Jordan Cameron actually makes it to him on waivers. Now, he might not have to do any of these sneaky, dirty, underhanded moves to make sure that Jordan Cameron is on waivers come Tuesday night, Wednesday morning.
I'm dropping Bobby Rainey.
Are you?
Saturday night.
I wouldn't do that. I would because keep those two together.
Yeah, I'm going to drop Rainey, pick up Cameron, and make your team better.
You're really going to drop Rainey and put him – you would rather put him out on waivers knowing that Doug Martin's injury history over the calendar year, like I've already talked about. Doug Martin could easily go out against Pittsburgh and get hurt again.
He could.
And that would make Bobby Rainey one of the hottest waiver wire pickups going into week 5.
He is, but you know the tight end position being what it is right now, that Jordan Cameron, just based on his potential alone, is going to be a top 5 pickup next week. If he's on waivers.
If he's on waivers.
He is. I know I have Jordan Cameron in our auction league. I have yet to play him because I like Greg Olsen better.
I remember when you did that and you thought it was goofy, but now it's actually working out for you.
I didn't think it was goofy. It was just good value at the end of the auction. That's true. Still sitting there. So I look at my roster and I'm like, oh, I need to cut somebody. He's the first name that I look at on my team because I like my team. And I'm in the same situation. I'm the Eddie Lacy owner. I have James Starks. I'd rather hold on to James Starks. But if I saw Jordan Cameron on waivers and I just lost Pitta and I just lost Rudolph and Niles Paul just got concussed and Jordan Reed's not back, that's the first player I think that people are – there's 4 owners right there potentially that need a tight end. And he was top 5 guy for you and many other people.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be the first guy added. And you're banking on Doug Martin making it through the game. So that's kind of the way I would approach it.
I'm kind of curious to see what Jordan Cameron's ownership is right now. I'll tell you after we read the next email.
All right, this is similar.
Because I wonder how many people could actually be in that
situation.
This
is a similar situation, different players. Steve from a town in Minnesota.
French Hills.
In a pinch, need to drop one out of...
I have no idea if there's a French Hills.
Niall Davis, Bishop Sankey, or Stephen Ridley. Or should I play without a defense or kicker this week?
Read it one more time for me.
Drop one of the following to pick up a defense or kicker. Niall Davis, Bishop Sankey, Stephen Ridley. Take the 0 at the spot. You can't drop one of these guys.
You can't drop those guys. And what happened, you can't possibly have a kicker who's so good that you want to hang on to him during the bye week. So if you don't have
But he may have done what you did, is dropped his kicker to pick up somebody else.
Right, and then it just worked out for him, and
doesn't
now
have
he's
a kicker.
Got a – yeah, that's bad news. Jordan Cameron's owned in 95% of leagues.
Right, so he's going to be picked
he's
up
not
in a second.
He's not going to be on waivers very often. But the dirty underhanded move would be to make sure, to ensure that he stays on waivers.
But again, though, here's the wild card. We don't know where he is on waivers. He could be first right now.
He could pick up Jordan Cameron right now.
No, I understand that. But I'm saying he could be first on waivers Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Then what you're saying is the genius move.
Mm-hmm.
Guarantee yourself getting Cameron Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning.
Or somebody better if, you know.
Or somebody better.
Somebody decides to go on
vacation. I just think you drop the handcuff to one of those guys. And to me, Rainey is the lowest of the handcuffs.
How many more emails we got?
We'll do 2 more.
Okay.
Austin from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Austin, Texas from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Hey, Jimmy, Jeff, and Dale Jr.
Those are presidents?
I think they're ice skaters. Please pick 2 for me, standard scoring. Kyrie Robinson, Randall Cobb, Brandon Cooks. So it's basically pick 1. Kyrie Robinson or Brandon Cooks.
In a standard scoring league, wow, that's a close call. I think I would go with Robinson. I think he's got the slightly better chance to score.
Well, you know he's going to probably get 15-plus touches again. And, yes, I agree. He probably has a better chance to score.
But it's close.
It is
Would you agree that it is close?
Very close.
So it's not necessarily a bad thing if you do want to go with Cooks, but if you're asking us, it's Robbins.
All right, last email from Jesse from the Cheesesteak Capital.
That would be Philadelphia.
Yes, but he also says...
Or wherever I am.
Hail to Pittsburgh. So I assume he's a Steelers fan living in Philly.
Or maybe Pittsburgh is the Cheesesteak Capital and we've been lied to this whole time.
Maybe so. Dear Marino, Ditka, and Dorsett.
Those are famous players from, I want to say, from an important university. I'll go with Cal State Fullerton.
This year, I took the strategy of ignoring bye weeks when drafting, and it might crush me this week. I have to start the following running backs. Reggie Bush, Carlos Hyde, Toby Gerhart, Maurice Jones-Drew.
How many?
So he's got to start 2 of
Oh, MJD, I'm running to Reggie Bush at this
Reggie
point.
Reggie Bush, Carlos Hyde, Toby Gerhart. So I think I agree with you. Reggie Bush is the must-start guy.
I think I've got to go with MJD.
Even though you have Gerhart ranked higher?
Do I really?
I actually like McFadden better than MJD just because of health.
Yeah.
And he's been actually doing a decent job. The yards haven't been there, but he's been running tough.
I don't even like look at my rankings past a certain spot, so I don't know that I did have Gerhardt ahead of him.
Yep.
But I guess I did.
I would actually go with, and I got to run, I would gamble on Hyde scoring touchdown.
Okay. I wouldn't do that. I would go, if I have Gerhardt right higher, I would say Gerhardt, but I don't know if I necessarily feel good. Jamie's leaving the room. I'm left here with producer Matt Brodsky. How have we sounded today, Matt? Good?
You guys have sounded great.
And you sound good, too. Thank you very much for that. Are you into the one-week fantasy thing, Matt?
I'm looking to get into it for sure.
Have you heard about FanDuel?
Tell me more.
You're making this sound like I'm trying to promote something, and I'm not. I'm asking you if you've heard of FanDuel.
I have heard of FanDuel. I'm looking to get into it soon.
Yeah, it's fun, man. And I know like you're taking the year off of playing fantasy football for some crazy reason.
Yeah, I'm regretting it for sure.
Yeah, well, now here it would be your chance to get in because you can play every week. You don't have to have your own roster and your own team and your own lineup, and you don't have to worry about bye weeks. And you don't necessarily play with your buddies or your coworkers or whatever, but you play against other people, and you play for real money. You could do anything from a 50-50 league where if you finish in the top half, you practically double your money, to one of these huge tournaments. They even have a tournament this weekend. It's like $350,000 guaranteed.
That's pretty crazy,
some that are even bigger than that. And since you're already listening, I might as well tell you that if you sign up with promo code CBSI, that's EYE, they will double your first deposit up to $200. So if you put in $200, they will match it, and you'll have $400 to play with on FanDuel. Every week on FanDuel, I have a Beat Dave Richard challenge. For $5, you get to play against me in FanDuel.
I've beaten you before years ago. Maybe it would be a good excuse to get back in.
Yeah, maybe you should get back in, and you can win money. I think it's $3,000 guaranteed for that. And for $5, that's not so bad to play in a tournament where $3,000 is going to be spread around. And I've been terrible in my own tournaments so far. I'm 0 for 3. I haven't cashed in any of them. One of these weeks, I've got to win it and beat everybody and take everybody's money. Although I got a feeling I'd be told, well, guess what? That money's going to be rolled over into next week's game. But it doesn't matter whether that would be the case or not. It's a lot of fun, and it's a great way to keep playing fantasy if your team's 0-3, if you decide not to play like you did, Matt, if you didn't play in a league this year. FanDuel's fun. FanDuel.com, promo code CBSIEYE. And that's pretty much it. We're going to put a bow on this podcast. Matt, you did a great job producing.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Jamie, you did a great job as well. You can impersonate Jamie if you'd like.
Okay, guys.
I didn't know he sounded like that.
He doesn't. That was terrible.
Thank you for that, Matt. Thank you very, very much. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Good luck in your leagues this week. We really are rooting for you. We love you guys, and we're glad that you pay attention and put up with us on the podcast. Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, Eye on Fantasy Football on CBS Sports Radio. You have no excuse. You have to listen. It's on over 200 stations nationwide. We also stream it live through the CBS Sports app. You can also get it on your computer or your desktop or your phone. You can use the radio.com app. You could come to our office and sit here in the building at Saturday at 10 o'clock if you really wanted to listen, but that's probably not a good idea. What's up, Matt?
For local listeners in South Florida, it's on WQAM 560 AM. Mm-hmm. I've actually caught it listening in my car.
Nice. Awesome.
Saturday night.
Thank you very much for that. So we're on real radio stations causing all sorts of trouble. And what would happen if I gave out the number to call now on the podcast instead of waiting until the show on Saturday night? Would that be bad? If everybody listening knew, you guys would all get a head start on calling in before the rest of the people listening would. And we could have nothing but podcast listeners call into the show on Saturday. That would be a lot of fun. I'm going to do it. Write this number down. Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock in California. 855-212-4227. Just 10 o'clock sharp. Start dialing. Let's see if we can get the entire show, with podcast listeners. And all the average Joes that are just, you know, I like fantasy football, but I don't listen to a podcast. Not that they're bad people. They're good people. We care about those people. But this is our podcast, and this is our thing. Jamie and I are hosting it on Saturday. We'd love to hear from you. For producer Matt Brodsky, for Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Dave Richard. You've been listening to the Fantasy Football Today podcast from CBSSports.com. Thanks for coming out.